The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This idea started with one of my favorite authors and writers in a book he wrote called The Last Arrow. Erwin McManus wrote a book called The Last Arrow, and I'll never forget reading that book and how that book changed my life, but more specifically, how this scripture that he uses in the book really changed my life. And you have the passage of scripture there, Chelsea asked just a second ago, she goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm good." She goes, "Well, you just look like you're thinking about something." I was like, "Yeah, man, you know, this is kind of the spoiler alert. Sometimes I get stressed and I get worried too, and like I'm thinking about, man, what do I say? What do I not say? What if I say the wrong thing and I should have said this, but I meant to say that?" And there's all kinds of things that run through your mind when you know you're getting ready to get up and speak. But then the other thing is, man, we've been talking about spiritual awakening. And I think Miss Bonnie again, if you guys don't follow us on Facebook, you should. Miss Bonnie did a great job explaining what spiritual awakening was in a Facebook post we did the other day. But she used a phrase that we pray audacious, out-of-our-hands prayers. Big, audacious prayers. That's part of spiritual awakening, is this idea that if something's going to happen, it has to be because God does something. And so this morning, what I'm thinking about is this. I think for the majority of us in this room, there's one thing that's stopping each and every one of us from truly praying big, audacious prayers. From just saying, "God, listen, if you don't do something, nothing else is going to happen." And I think for most of us, there's one thing in our life that's causing us, or that's pausing us, or stopping us from truly praying that prayer, from truly thinking that thing. And so it's with that kind of thought process in mind, we're going to start in, and we're going to talk this morning about emptying your quiver. If you've ever been to my office, this sits in my office. I don't even know when it is. It's off of Amazon, honestly. Not all that super ancient or anything. But this sits in my office, and the reason this sits in my office is because of this book that this guy wrote, and it sits in there to remind me of what we're going to talk about this morning, about emptying your quiver. So I brought this to show you, visual display, I don't really know, that's all I got. All right, so I'm going to set that right there. We're going to start out, it's in 2 Kings chapter 13, it's in your little sermon note thing there. It starts out and it says this, "Now Elijah had been suffering from the illness from which he would die. Joash, king of Israel, went down to see him, and he wept over him. 'My father,' he cried, 'the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.' Elijah said to him, 'Get a bow and some arrows.' And he did so. 'Take the bow in your hands,' take the bow in your hands,' he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. 'Open the east window,' he said. And so he opened it. 'Shoot,' Elijah said. And so he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared. 'You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek.' Then he said, 'Take the arrows.' And the king took them, and he told them to strike the ground. He struck them 3 times and then stopped. The man of God became angry with him and said, 'Why have you only struck them 5 or 6 times? Then you would have defeated Aram completely and destroyed it. But now you will only defeat them 3 times. Elijah died and was buried." Maybe a strange passage of scripture, and if you're not familiar with Kings and Chronicles, it's interesting. The two books kind of mirror each other, and they go back and forth and tell the stories of the kings of Israel. And this is one of those weird stories that, like, you don't find in Chronicles, but you just find in Kings, and it's this short little blurb of a story that gives you this glimpse into this guy's life. But it got me, and again, I just have any of y'all suffer from fantastical minds? There we go. I got one fantastical mind in the room. I have a fantastical mind, and so I read, and all of a sudden my imagination starts to wonder, and I start to ask questions about this, and I start to wonder about that, and I start to think, well, why did this happen here? And like from like one little story like this, man, my mind can just wonder forever. And so the first thing that this kind of led me to is this: arrows only achieve their purpose when they fly, right? Now, if I take this arrow here and I hold it up here, this is doing me no good, right? I mean, I guess like I can swatch a kid if they're misbehaving, or you know, if I was blind, I could see I could find my way using an arrow maybe. But like, really, an arrow only serves its purpose when it flies, right? I mean, it's not like a sword. If I were to take this to a sword fight, what would happen? Not so good for me. If I were to try to block something like use this as a shield, what would happen? I could bring David and Bubby up here again, and we could try and chop some more wood with this like we did with an axe. But really, eventually what's going to happen is this is going to break, because arrows are only meant to be shot and to fly. This morning, if you would allow me, I want to suggest that arrows in our life are this. Arrows are anything in your life that makes you who you are. Arrows are your job. They're your wife. They're your kids. They're your family. They're your husbands. They're your future. They're your marriage. They're your talents. They're your parents. They're your free time. They're your bank account. They're your car you drive. Anything and everything that God gives you to use to glorify Him is an arrow. Fair enough? So if that's the case, and an arrow only is purposeful when it's let go of. So many of us are using our arrows in our life the wrong way. Instead of letting go of all those things in our life, we hold on to them really, really tight, and we're convinced that somehow this is going to serve the purpose that it's meant to serve. The second thing about arrows that I would like to point out probably is this. Arrows only fulfill their purpose when they fly straight. Now, if I'm going to use this arrow, I have to point it in a direction, right? I mean, like, if I just kind of like, have y'all ever play this game as a kid, shoot the arrow straight up in the air and the last one standing in a circle wins? Yeah, don't. But just from what I've heard, there are people who play that game. Why? Because there's no direction, there's no aim to it, right? And that's what makes it dangerous. Arrows are meant to go in a direction. You have some scriptures on your screen. How many of you guys have a direction for those things that God has blessed you with in your life? How many of you have a plan for your family? How many of you have a plan for your finances? How many of you have a plan for your house, for your car, for your kids, for your wife, for your husband? You realize that, like, as long as we keep these things just there and we don't realize that we have to have a focus for them, we have to have a direction we want to point them in, we want to use them in, how we want to glorify God in those things, they're pointless. Let me say that again. How many of you have a direction you want your marriage to go? But until you start to realize that the marriage that you have is a gift from God for you to use to glorify Him, it's never going to fulfill its purpose in your life. How many of you have a direction that you want your kids to go? Until we start to realize that our children are an avenue that God gives us to glorify Himself, and they can be pointed in a direction that glorifies Him, and that we can not use our children, but our children can be an avenue that our lives can glorify God with. But only if they're pointed in a direction and let go. How many of you have a plan for your finances? I'm going to put my hand down real quick. No, we do, right? We budget. We have little apps that we keep track of all these different things with. But until we start to realize that our finances are a way that we can glorify God, and we start to be intentional about the way we spend them and how we spend them and where they go. We talked about this on Wednesday night in our Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study is awesome. If you're not a part of it, this is your shameless plug. You need to be here on Wednesday nights because it's awesome. But on Wednesday nights, we talked about how everything we have, you realize your house is a means for you to glorify God. The house that you live in is a blessing from God. It's one of your arrows that God can use in someone's life as a way to introduce them to Him. We come up with all kinds of reasons as to why we can't use our house. It's not clean. It's not this. It's not that. It's not perfect. It's not as pretty as the neighbors. It's not all these different things. But the reality is that it's an arrow in our life, and it can be used in a way to glorify God if we're intentional about the direction we point it in. Another thing about arrows is this. Arrows only fulfill their purpose when they hit their mark. I'm going to tell y'all one of my worst hunting stories ever, and this may encourage some of you to take me hunting with you, because I'm terrible at it. So I was hunting one time, and it was bow season, and I had this nice bow. I lived on 500 acres, so I don't really know when bow season was, but like, The game warden never came out there. She don't tell nobody. So we just went hunting whenever we wanted to. And I had this bow. And I got in my little tree stand, and I was sitting there. I was waiting, and a doe walked in. Again, I didn't know the difference between a doe and a buck. I mean, I did, but, like, I don't know if it was seasoned for that or not. But I pull back my bow and arrow, and I let it go. And, man, I nailed that deer. The only problem was I was using that kind of arrow. Y'all know what that did to that deer? Deer thought he got hit by a mosquito. Kind of looked around real quick. Did not do anything. Why? Because arrows are meant to hit their mark and make an impact. I had to use the right tip on my arrow, otherwise it wasn't making an impact that I wanted it to. You have some verses there where Matthew tells you that you're the salt of the earth, you're the light, or you're the light. And in other words, what all these things mean is your arrows are meant to be used in a way that makes an impact in the world. They're not only supposed to be pointed in a direction, but they're supposed to be pointed in a direction where they're going to make an impact. He tells us we're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, then what purpose is it? It serves no purpose. For you and I as followers of Christ, if we've lost our ability to bring flavor to the world or to show the world who God is, then our lives are making zero impact. If that's the case, then what good are all your arrows? You realize that for a lot of us, our arrows aren't really making an impact. So they're really pointless. Now, all that to say that those are different things about arrows. And I think this morning that we can all agree that arrows are these things in our life. But then there's this story that again, you have to follow my fantastical mind. And all those first questions came from this story. But then we get back to the story. You get back to the story and you read where Elijah has this moment with the king. And really, he gets mad at the king. And that got me curious. Why in the world did he get mad at the king? I mean, when you look at what the king did exactly what arrows are supposed to do. What did he do? Elijah said, hey, go get a bow and arrow. The king went and got a bow and arrow. Guy said, pull it back, shoot it out the east window. The king let go of his arrow. That's step number one, right? Because arrows are only impactful if they... There we go. All right. Second thing is they have to go in a direction, right? He aimed out the east window. That's a direction. I mean, maybe not really, but it's got to be a pretty good shot if you're going to shoot an arrow out a window. I would think there's some talent there. But aimed in a direction and made an impact. Now, while the king may not have seen it, when you look, what Elijah says about that arrow is so profound, so important, and it's the impact. In other words, it hit the mark. It caused the exact, it had the effect that was needed. Elijah calls this an arrow of victory. Victory over the Arams. See, the first arrow was a sign of faith in God to bring victory. In other words, what the king was doing is he was shooting this arrow out the window as a means of saying, God, I trust you for the victory. God, I trust that you're going to bring the victory. Now, you have to kind of do a little bit of backstory. I'm going to do this as fast as I can. What happened is this. See, God gave Israel prophets. The prophets were supposed to be the mouthpiece. They were supposed to be the ones that talked for God to the nation of Israel. Israel didn't like that. They wanted a king. Sorry. So God gave them kings. Well, then all of a sudden the king started being bad, and so God had to send prophets back again to be the mouthpiece for God. And so the mouthpiece for God was the prophets. So anytime the kings were about to go to war, anytime the kings had a major decision, they would always call the prophets and say, hey, listen, I need your advice. I need your guidance. I need you to tell me what God is saying to me. And so when the king goes to Elijah, Elijah's getting ready to die. And the king is upset and he's sad and he has a lot of respect for Elijah. So he comes to him and he mourns over him. But more importantly, what I think the king is worried about is this. When you die, who's going to speak for me? How is God going to tell me whether I'm going to gain victory or whether or not things are going to go the way I want them to? Who's going to give me the advice I need? And so when this is the final act of obedience and the final act of faith, the king is worried about what happens after you're gone, Elijah. This is great. I'll shoot this arrow out the window, but what happens when you're gone? Who's going to be the voice? And so what happens is that he's guaranteed the victory here if his faith is in God, right? Good so far? But then I get hung up and I get stuck. Y'all ever get hung up and stuck on stuff? Oh man, I got hung up and I stuck. Because that's great. Like, all right, here's my first arrow. Let's see. Where's my windmill or my little thing? That's going to be south. That's going to be west. So that's east, right? All right, there's my arrow out the east. Perfect. I'm faithful. God's going to bring the victory. So then the prophet says, hey, listen, take the rest of the arrows and strike the ground with them. Okay. Sure. Now, I'm not sure what happened here. I'm not sure if the king took three arrows out and said, oh, there's one, there's two, there's three. Cool beans. Or if the king took his entire quiver and he struck the ground three times. I'm not real sure. But see, we want to go back to one of those points there. Arrows are only impactful if they fly straight, right? If they hit their mark, if they leave an impact. Do you realize what striking the ground with these arrows would do? Striking the ground with these arrows would cause them to be ineffective. It caused them to lose their purpose because what it would do is it would compromise the shaft. It would break that. They wouldn't fly straight. They wouldn't make the impact they were supposed to make. And so in striking these arrows, what essentially Elijah was telling the king to do is he's saying, hey, listen, all the arrows that are in your quiver, you have to make them useless. You have to make them not serve the purpose that you want them to serve anymore. Well, that's a tough thing for a king to do because, see, at this time, what would happen is this. The war is coming. A battle's coming. Israel's involved in a long-going civil war between the northern and the southern kingdoms. Battles are going to come continually. And the king knew, hey, these things are pretty valuable. These arrows are pretty good because I can fight the battle from a distance with these arrows. And thus, I can minimize the risk. I can take the risk back a little bit by using these because we can fortify ourselves in the city and we can keep people off for a long time with these arrows. And so these are actually more valuable than soldiers because I don't have to lose men to fight with arrows. I can diminish the risk by holding on to these. And these arrows, they're actually pretty valuable when you think about it. And that's his problem. See, he was holding on to these arrows just in case. See, we read in there that Elijah got mad. And the question it caused me to ask is, what about those other arrows? He shot the one out the east window. Great. He takes three. He strikes them and he throws them down. And he says, hey, listen, those are good. I'm done. Those are useless. What about those arrows? Elijah, you don't need to see those arrows. Don't worry about those. Those are nothing. What about those arrows? Well, Elijah, those are my just-in-case arrows. What do you mean, your just-in-case arrows? Well, these are my arrows. Elijah, what happens? Great. I've shot four arrows. I've got a couple left. What happens when the battle comes, Elijah? See, I want to keep these just in case. I have to fight at a distance, and I don't want to risk my men. So I'm going to keep these in case God doesn't do what I want him to do the way I want him to do it. And that's why Elijah gets furious. He says, no, you don't get it, man. You don't get it. You don't have just-in-case arrows. You take the arrows, you break them, you throw them in the ground, and you say, God, everything I have is yours. I got nothing left. You've got to show up. You've got to do something because I got nothing. God, I cannot do this unless you show up. And I pray a big, audacious prayer that says, God, you've got to come and you've got to meet me now because if not, I've got nothing left. My just-in-case arrows are gone. It's all you. Now, here's the problem, because that's a cool story in Scripture. Fantastic. But here's what's happening to a lot of us. We got a whole dadgum quiver full of just-in-case arrows in our life. Me, you, every single one of us. What these are those things that we talked about, our finances, our marriage, our car, our job, or whatever the case is. We say, God, listen, you can have my hour at church. God, you can have some time on Wednesday nights when I serve with the kids or I do something like that. But God, these arrows, these are mine. God, these are just in case you don't do what I want you to do. I'm going to hold on to these, God. I'm going to hold on to these. I'm going to keep them back just in case. Church, you want to know what's stopping spiritual awakening in your life and in my life? Just in case arrows. Because see, what we're doing is we're praying prayers that relate, trust in God. But we're holding on to stuff just in case he doesn't show up and do what we want him to do. We're putting ourselves in situations where, listen, this isn't the best thing I could do, but really, I've got my backup plan in case God doesn't do what I want him to do. And we're living lives not controlled by faith, controlled by fear. And we're holding on to our arrows just in case. You want to see God do big, audacious things in your life? You gotta say, I got nothing left, man. It's you or nothing. God, I can't hold on to this anymore. I told you this story came to me. A really, really rough time in my life. I wasn't being the husband I needed to be to my wife. I didn't realize that our marriage was on the brink of destruction. This story came because what I needed to see is this. My marriage was actually an avenue that God was trying to use to glorify himself through. But what I was trying to do is I was trying to hold on and I was trying to fix it just in case. And I was trying to hold on to it and say, God, you can't work in my marriage because I need you to work in other things, other areas. And this is my just in case. And I was holding God back and I wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do in my marriage because I was going to hold that back just in case. Because what happens if he did something that I didn't want him to do with my marriage? What happens if he required forgiveness where I want him to hold a grudge? What happens if he required me to be loving where I didn't want to be loving? What happens if he wants to do all these great things in my marriage, but I don't want that? And so what I did is I held on to my just-in-case arrows, and when I read this, it shocked me to my core. Because I realized that every area of my life, all I was doing was saying, God, you can have those arrows. You ain't touching these. I'm going to hold on to these because I don't trust you. Church, I don't know where you are this morning. But I know this. Whatever awakening you're waiting for in your life will never fully happen until you empty your entire quiver. And you say, God, whatever it is, it's only going to work if you do something. Now, for some of you, that's your salvation. He said, we don't talk about salvation at church. Okay, cool. See, you believe Jesus is the way. You believe he's the Son of God. You believe he died on the cross for your sins. But you also have this other side of you that says, well, listen, if I can be a good enough person, if I can be moral enough, if I can be good enough, if I can do this enough, then even if Jesus doesn't work out for me, I'm still good enough. That's not faith. That's not how God works. Some of you, that works its way into your life, and you say you trust God with your finances, or you trust God with your job, or you trust God with this, or you trust God with that, or you trust God with anything, but really you've got all these backup plans, and you've got these other things that you're holding on to just in case God doesn't do what you want him to do, and that's not faith, and that's not how God works. This morning, I don't know where you are. My prayer, my challenge for you this morning is this, church. Empty this thing. This sits in my office as a reminder to daily give every single thing over to God with all I have. And say, God, listen, if anything's going to happen, it's because you show up and do something. Because my quiver is empty. and all my arrows are in your hands. You do whatever you want with them. My prayer is that's you this morning. Whatever your arrow is, I pray that when you walk out of here this morning, you take it, you say, God, it's yours. I'm not holding anything back from you. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the story of a king in the Old Testament, God. A strange story, an interesting story. But God, a story that hits too close to home for me. God, it's a story of a man just like me who wanted to hold something back just in case. But Lord, I know if that's just like me, that's probably just like a lot of us here this morning. So God, my prayer is this. Lord, during this time of invitation, you would use your Holy Spirit to work in our lives. God, to convict us of the things that we're holding back. Father, to awaken, to fan fresh the gift of that Holy Spirit, to convict us of things that we're holding on to, we're not practicing faith in. And God, we're trusting in ourselves instead of you. Father, may today be a day when we empty our quivers. Father, we pray, we trust you to do big things in our life because only you can. And Lord, years from now, we'll look back on this day and we'll remember the day we gave everything we had to you. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.